That's what motivated me too, is always to have this, oh, this is working, where can it lead? And it feels magical to me. But how does that, reflecting back in 2016?
Create websites, design your future. Join the Elementor's community of millions of web creators who build websites and grow together with the number one web creation platform for WordPress.
So, hey everybody, I'm talking to one of our great PostStatus members, Katie Keith. I got to meet her in person a couple weeks ago at WordCamp US in San Diego and got a little bit about her story there. And she's got so many compelling things to part of her story that's going to be valuable to our audience and our membership, particularly how do you go from client service and agency work to successful plugin business. Particularly, you're going to hear all those stories about Katie and her work and her team's work at Barn 2. But Katie, thank you for coming on PostStatus Draft today and being willing to share your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You're the co-founder of Barn 2, but I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of say a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Katie, kind of one of the two directors at Barn 2 Plugins. I run the company with my husband, Andy. We're English, but last year we moved to Mallorca, Spain, because of the flexibility you get with this industry, which is amazing. And so that's kind of what's new with me at the moment, a new country to live in. We have a kind of a team around the world, so we were able to work from anywhere.
That's awesome. And we could talk about Mallorca all the time because I remember you mentioned that and I love that story, but I'm going to stay to topic here today. Well, so tell us about, okay, currently today, your business is primarily around plugins, but WooCommerce plugins. And I want to get to that, but I want to talk about the story of the beginning. You and your husband started in 2009, but could you tell us the story about how you started in web design and development and WordPress and all that?
Yeah, sure. So most of the time when we were in our 20s, we had normal jobs, both in the public sector in England. And we would always talk about we wanting to run a business together. And we never did it for ages and ages and just kept taking our salaries and not doing it. And then eventually, Andy in particular was quite fed up with his job. And so we thought, right, we're going to take the plunge and do something. And we couldn't afford for us both to do it. So he quit his job and I kept my job. And we started freelancing together, basically building websites. We thought that was a fairly easy thing to get into because you can attract quite small clients and work your way up. So he's a software developer and did the technical stuff. And I have a marketing and project management background. So I managed the clients and did their SEO and content and everything. So it worked quite well as something we could do together. So we started freelancing fairly quickly. We discovered WordPress as being the best way to build a website. So all our projects were built on WordPress. It wasn't something the clients were asking for. That was just our decision. And then after about a year, I thought, well, what if I actually advertised as WordPress specialist? So this was in late 2010. So I ran a Google AdWords campaign focusing on keywords like WordPress experts and things like that. And it was amazing. I think I spent 3,000 probably pounds, and we got within a couple of weeks more than £10,000 worth of work out of it. I realize it's not that easy now because there's a lot of WordPress specialists, but back then there was a gap that we kind of fell on. And so the agency grew from there.
Okay, so then you were able to come full time at some point, of course. And what happened? So you found WordPress, you started to build this, and how did the next couple of months, years, or whatever until the plugins go? What were you were building websites and all the things around it? Did it broaden out to anything specialization wise, or how did that grow from there?
Yeah, we specialized in doing more bespoke client projects in WordPress because we'd found this gap that there was at the time. And we recruited a team of freelancers from websites like Upwork, which wasn't called Upwork then, and People Per Hour, and found good people. And, you know, we thoroughly vet them and things. And so we managed to build a freelance team. We didn't have any employees or anything. Everybody was just freelance. And that way we could increase capacity. And we were really pleased at first that we were running our own business. We'd quit our jobs, and that was really great. And then we started to think, actually, it's still kind of not the perfect lifestyle, because clients' work, as I'm sure all your listeners know, can be quite demanding. They want things done straight away. They have problems with their website, which you have to sort out immediately, and you don't really get any time off. So we had that in the back of our minds, that what is the ultimate sort of lifestyle type business where we can be successful and have that flexibility. And being in the WordPress industry, we could see that WordPress products and the growth of that. And at the time, you could see how well people were doing with themes, particularly on ThemeForest. So in about 2013, we spent like literally a year building a theme, which we were going to sell on ThemeForest, and it was rejected. So that was disappointing. We spent so long building this product that in the time we were doing so, the market changed and it became very competitive with the big themes like Avada and Jupyter coming out, which were huge pieces of software with tons and tons of features, which we couldn't possibly do ourselves. So we kind of gave up on that idea for a while. And then in 2016, we thought, let's go down the plugin route, because plugins can be small and very niche. Or do I have to say niche? And so we launched our first plugin, and it went from there.
Okay, so let's back up just a second. So started themes. What was the desire there to kind of diversify income, explore this? You obviously had some time to be able to, like, your agency work is going well, and start to, okay, hey, how did the product and the themes idea kind of get started, and what were your thoughts around that? Like,
we found the capacity to develop it through the freelance team. So they didn't do the theme. They did the client projects, and that freed up Andy as the technical director to work on the side projects. So because we had people that we could outsource the technical side of projects to, he was able to do that. And then I was able to take over the marketing when things were launched. And so that was, if it was just him doing all the client projects, that would have been very difficult, because you get dragged onto those, of course, whenever something urgent happens, or you need some money, then you end up doing the work yourself. So through the freelance team, that was helpful.
I feel like I hear a lot of stories where it's, you get up to kind of cruising at altitude, and you're able to have just a little bit more time and space to go, what else would we like to do? You mentioned lifestyle a second ago, but what was the spark that goes, okay, maybe if this is true, we had more time and space where Andy, for instance, in this scenario could do that more. What was the spark that led to that initial theme product?
The spark was that we reached a ceiling in the growth that we were realistically able to achieve. If we had taken on a lot more risk and full-time staff and gone down a much more traditional company model, then we could have continued to grow. But basically, the limit we faced was project management. So we found good people that could do design websites and plugins for us, for our clients more specifically. But whenever we tried to find project managers, it didn't work. And I spent a long time training some freelance project managers, and they just didn't have the WordPress experience, the relationship with the clients, as I did in project managing myself. So, and the clients were less happy. And one time in 2015, our daughter was just about to start school. And as you will know, that holidays get very expensive when your child's at school. So before that, we decided to take a month off and we hired a motorhome and drove around France for a month. And that meant we had to take a step back from work. And I got one of my project managers to handle everything. And it was a disaster. The clients were unhappy, projects failed. It just didn't work. And it became clear that that was the ceiling. I had to manage all the projects. I obviously didn't have the skills to recruit and train project managers. I know some people are good at that, but I wasn't. And so we couldn't grow any further because I couldn't manage any additional projects. And so then we started thinking, how can we grow products?
I see. I love how you described it as a ceiling, because I can totally see that. You know, you get to a point where kind of a fork in the road too. What do you want to do? And we feel like we're right here. So that's inspiring too. Okay. So we had the theme product and that didn't go well. You said you spent about a year doing that. And then we get over to plugins. I think you said 2016, but I hear from a lot of agencies that have transitioned or offer products that often they start as client work and you go, oh, it's a discovery of there's a need here. So how did the plugins, and I want to talk about what the plugins are, but how did that spark get started there too with the plugins?
Well, we launched two plugins very early on. One of them, we got the idea from the WooCommerce Ideas Forum, where you can publicly see where the gaps in the market are. So we just went through the list by the number of votes and found the idea that had the most votes that was realistic for us to develop. So that was our first plugin, which was called WooCommerce Password Protected Categories. So it was very simple. Loads of people wanted it. There was nothing at the time that did it. And it just lets you password protect a category for your store, like if you want to create a hidden area in your shop for members or wholesalers or whatever. So we launched that. And our other initial plugin, we got the idea from a client. So this client hired us to create a searchable table for his blog. So he had hundreds of blog posts about this spiritual leader that he followed. And they wrote all these things about his teachings and things. And it was this massive blog. And he wanted a much more searchable, filterable, indexable way than a normal WordPress blog where you just have the posts in reverse chronological order. That wasn't how he wanted it to be. And so we built this jQuery table plugin for the client, which he obviously paid us for. And then independently, we built it into a sellable plugin. So we added a lot more features. We added settings pages, the kind of things that you wouldn't realistically do on a client level project. So we put a lot more into it. But the original idea came from this client. We actually released that as a free plugin, which is still available on WordPress.org now. It's called Post Table with Search and Sort. And that's basically the bells and whistles version of what we did for the client. But then once we'd released the free plugin, we started to get feature requests, as you do when you put something out there. So people started asking for two key things. One was the ability to create a searchable table of custom post types. So that might be documents or members or articles, videos, audio, all these sorts of custom post types. And the other was specifically WooCommerce products. So later in 2016, we built our Post Table Pro plugin, which lists custom post types in a searchable table, and our product table plugin, WooCommerce product table, which takes your WooCommerce products and puts them in like a table, which is basically a one-page order form. So that works really well because you've got your variations and your quantity boxes and add to cart buttons all on this one-page order form. So it's, even though it looks the same as the original table of blog posts, it's actually a totally different purpose because it's an e-commerce order form. But the idea all came from that one client. And both of those projects have always been, those plugins have always been amongst our most successful, and WooCommerce product table has sold something like $1.2 million worth over its lifetime and is our biggest lifetime selling plugin.
Oh, that's excellent. And I never asked revenue numbers, but thank you for sharing that, because I think that's inspired people to see how you've come and how it, you know, evolved as a framework for how they can do that in their own world. I love that kind of little mini story of how that post search table, I'm going to look this up, by the way, because I think we might need it to post status from that product came out of client. I hear that a lot. And you gave such an amazing example of how something can be birthed out of client work. WooCommerce Marketplace, you said the other one came from an idea on the WooCommerce ideas place. But how did you get to WooCommerce? Were you doing WooCommerce type projects for clients? Or did you just see that this thing called WooCommerce was becoming this big, big thing? Or how did that lead you to the marketplace to find that idea?
We just knew that WooCommerce was big. And we had also heard or felt, I don't remember, that people are more inclined to buy premium products, premium plugins, when that will make them money, which makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So we particularly wanted to sell plugins for e-commerce because they would be easier to go premium on.
Yeah. So for my time at iThemes, we meandered in the path to plugins, and then we kind of found our niche was utility plugins. And I always said, hey, we're saving people money, time, and things like that. That's the stuff you think about, like insurance. I gotta have insurance. Mm. But it's not sexy. What's sexy is making money, you know? Mm. And we never got to this part of the making money part. We felt like we were helping people by extension make money and build their business. But it's so neat to hear you all saw, okay, this is something that people, if you help make them money, it's a really good thing. Because I said, hey, nobody gripes about the bill of something that, like, if you have your PPC campaign or whatever going and it's converting, nobody mm-hmm. complains much about that bill. But you complain, I complain about our house insurance bill. You know, we've got to re-up our house insurance bill because I don't think about, like, well, I don't want a fire to burn the house. I want it to take care of itself. But on the other side, the make money part is always felt easier to make that sell because you're not a cost item per se. You're more like, no, this is essential to helping us keep making the money.
Yeah. Okay. And not just for the initial sale either, but for ongoing renewals, because obviously most plugin companies now sell annually. And if the customer sees that value coming in from the product, they're more likely to keep paying as well. And we do quite a lot of analysis of our pricing to see what is the best balance between sales versus the cost per product. And the WooCommerce versions always will justify a higher price than a general WordPress plugin. So WooCommerce Product Table and Post Table Pro are good examples. Post Table Pro has never been able to justify the same price tag as Product Table because people are displaying information in a useful way rather than selling something.
Okay, so was there a point after these two plugins start to have success and maybe others that you do where you said we're gonna thin down client work and we're gonna focus on our product and our plugin side of the business? And how did you get to that
decision? It happened surprisingly quickly. So we launched our first paid plugin in early March 2016. And by August, we were making decisions. Let's stop taking on new clients. So we'll follow through on existing projects. If existing clients want a new website, we'll do it. So we kind of slowed it down gradually. So by then, the plugins were probably making, I don't know, $5,000 a month or something, which was less than the client business, but enough to live on. So we could feel fairly confident. And we also had the safety net of a large number of clients that we were hosting and maintaining their websites. So we kind of felt that we could take that risk and not be keep taking up our time building new client projects surprisingly quickly.
So I'm sure looking back, it feels like a magical time. It was for me when you go, okay, this thing that we did is working. And there's another opportunity here to, you mentioned lifestyle in the beginning here is, and that's what motivated me too, is always to have this, oh, this is working. Where can it lead? And it feels magical to me. But how does that reflecting back in 2016, those 6 months or so from, wow, this could actually be a thing. Oh, this is the, oh, we should make these decisions to do this. Reflecting back, how does that whole time period feel, and how do you think about it?
Well, the first sale was amazing because we just, so we used our existing website, which was at the time barn2.co.uk. We eventually went to barn2.com, but that took years. So we had quite good SEO from the client business. So we didn't want to start again with a new domain or anything. So we put up a plugin section on our agency website. So we were advertising web design services and plugins on, you know, different menu tabs, basically. Added some blog posts. And because our first plugin, WooCommerce Password Protected Categories, was unique in the market, there was no competition and we ranked very quickly, which was amazing. And so it actually was literally a few days before the first sale came. And we were like, what? We saw this email, new plugin sale. That's not one of our tests. That's a real person. Oh my God. And we didn't even know it would ever sell. So the first sale was really interesting because that's the first kind of evidence that people might actually find our website that way and buy things on it.
That's awesome. Okay, let's fast forward a little bit to today. What do you offer and what are you doing with Barn 2? So, let's see, what if I'm doing my math, 6+ years later, almost 6 years later, you're kind of coming up, you're already past your anniversary of that big decision. Now, what are you doing at Barn 2?
So kind of more of the same, really. So we've taken what works and kept doing it. We now have 19 premium plugins, plus maybe 4 or 5 free ones. And we have a team of about 14 people who are all working independently around the world. So from their locations. So we've got like a support team and a development team and a marketing team, which is amazing. But ultimately, we're just trying to kind of replicate what we started and scale it up because it worked.
Yeah, it for sure did. Congratulations on your success and what you built so far today. I think a lot of people dream, oh, I'd like where Katie is now. That's where I want to be. And how do you get there? And I think you shared so many key parts of the story. It definitely resonate with me about building product business. And I go back to what you said, find what works, keep doing it. And if it stops working, find something else that's working and doing that. I know we talked about some of the original ideas that came from Woo Marketplace, looking in, seeing an opportunity there. And the other side was clients. Any other thoughts about how you go about or how someone else could go about finding the opportunities for products as they're building their agency?
Just keep it in mind, really. The information, the insights are probably there. If you're in the WordPress industry, you're doing projects, you're building websites for people, I would be surprised if you weren't coming across gaps in the market. And if you do a bit of research, you can find out if other people are looking for the same thing that your client has found that doesn't exist. Maybe you've recently done some custom code and customization for, I don't know, the events calendar or something there wasn't a feature built in. And so you've written something bespoke. That might be a plugin idea for an extension you could sell. There's tons of things like that in all the major plugins, like WooCommerce, Easy Digital Downloads, Gravity Forms, and so on. There's all these gaps. So if you're using these tools and customizing them, then have a think about whether that's a product idea.
It's part of your experience. It's part of your expertise and seems like a good place to start. For me, when we started iThemes, we started with themes. And eventually we got into plugins because it was definitely part of conversations I was having, seeing that there was this opportunity with plugins. But it came out of a need for us in those, just listening to customers, like you're saying, is just what are the things that people are bumping into that are problems that probably are valuable if you can solve those problems, like your custom posts search and organize plugin came out of that one person with this massive site. And then did you start asking, like, what were the questions you started asking? For me, with, for instance, Becca, but when that was not my idea, it came from our team. And I go, oh, a backup plugin? my first question was, everybody needs a backup of their WordPress website. That came out of our own pain. But what were some of those questions you started asking as you determined, like, this is feasible for us to take time, resources, energy? You know, we'll talk about like getting things off the ground too from a marketing side, I know, too, because I want to tap into that experience you have and expertise. But what were some of those questions you asked when you're like, how do I determine, make this decision, this is worth some time?
Well, to be honest, we had a lot of randomness and luck and instinct. We weren't brilliant at establishing that data. We've worked a lot with Ellipsis to reduce randomness, you know, the marketing company for WordPress product companies, Ellipsis. And because we were just checking that it didn't exist. So we were checking there was a gap, but we weren't establishing the demand sometimes. We would just do it because it was new and we'll have a go. We probably wasted some resources there. So that has been an ongoing challenge and not something we've always been brilliant at. But the data is there. And if you hire an SEO company or something, you can find out about search volumes or just go on Google Trends yourself and see.
I love your authenticity, though, to say that, because that's so reflective of my own experience and I think of many others. We don't just look into a crystal ball and go, there it is. Sure, maybe that's out there. I have this great idea. I think it would work, but there's probably so much backstory to it. The story I tell often, and so much of this is experiments. And over time, I tried to make my experiments cost less and less and less because I made some very expensive experiment failures, you know. I just love your genuineness of saying like it, we didn't have it all together, and neither did we, by the way, when you're starting and you start to hone that process, like that laboratory process. I read a book called Little Bets, and I back in the day, and I go, oh, I shouldn't just go see an opportunity, let's run for it, maybe there's some nuance there. One of the mistakes that we made that I often say when people ask me about my failures, particularly in product, I say, I call it iThemes Exchange. Back in this day, we were seeing the WooCommerce market really grow and explode. And it seemed very complex to me. And our opportunity started at, or the thought started at, there should be a simpler way to do e-commerce for the person actually running the site, putting their products on the site. And so we started iThemes Exchange with that kind of premise, but we didn't do a lot more thought past that. And it ended up costing us probably $400,000, $500,000 fixed cost, not to mention opportunity cost. So I use that as my thing. It's like, okay, why did that fail? Where did we go wrong? But I say that like, there's so many failures that get to, oh, this is it. But I just keep anchoring back to your client story when they birth out of either your experiences, like you said, or you're a client that see and like, oh, could other people use this? How much do they value those things? And I sometimes probably get paralyzed in that over analysis, but there is some here of just those basic questions of like, is this something that we think could go and going from hunch to actually let's put it out there and test it. Do you have any thoughts around that too?
I've never been a big risk taker and I like small risks that aren't like going to break the bank if they're not successful. Where we haven't established the market first, it wasn't a huge amount of development time to get the product out there, for example. We now have a formula which we use to evaluate new plugin ideas, which looks at factors such as search volume, other searches for that concept going up or down, competitiveness, difficulty to develop, that kind of thing. So we've got this whole spreadsheet that we plug new ideas into with some data. So that helps. But yeah, I've always been scared of themes because I perceive them as being really huge and a big risk to develop. But you're very brave starting with themes.
It was much more complex in 2000. I mean, I'm sorry, much more simple in 2008, by the way, than it is today. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was about 2013 that it changed, which is when we were trying to build a theme. And suddenly these multi-purpose themes flooded the market, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the other part. I think you even mentioned there is competition, is seeing what other people are doing out there in the space. When we did Backup Buddy, there wasn't really anything that what we felt was a holistic backup plugin to do backups, migrations, restoring of websites. And so, but again, it was early enough where there wasn't a lot. Now today, totally different story. We want to do a backup plugin. Well, look at the landscape. It's pretty competitive. The other side, and I love your input on this too, is that so many people, as the theme market got so competitive, and people would say, "Do you think you could build start? Someone could build, not even me, just someone could build a theme company." And early on in my naiveness, I said, "I don't think so. I think it'd be really, really tough." Well, then, probably right as I say that, companies like Beaver Builder come out. And I'm like, wow, even a competitive, what I viewed as a competitive market, they saw a way to innovate that changed the game. Now, they would say, I think it's a plug-in versus a theme, but to me, they had a different perspective and they looked at some of what I was buried in complexity and go, no, there's this. And then this whole page builder market starts. And so that's always interesting too, is just when I always say never, because when I have said, I don't think so, someone ever else goes, but here. And it's so cool with the innovation that you can do in market.
And that's an interesting example because I think a lot of the Beaver Builder diehards are developers and people that are quite into WordPress. And I know that's not their whole market, but I think they go more in that direction in terms of their fan base. So they kind of found a bit of a gap as well from, say, the visual composer types who are very much not that group at all.
Well, okay, so we've talked about kind of getting plugin, evaluating it, and all the story that goes a part of that where Barn2 is today. The other compelling question that we talked about before we had this, we started recording, was the whole marketing of plugins. And what particularly, I know this was something that you started with the agency back in the day, was your emphasis on marketing too. But how do you think about marketing plugins? Well, okay, we've gotten past the season, we're building it, we've got it ready to go. And then just that big, broad question of how do you market plugins?
Well, because I'm not a big risk taker, I try to keep it small, but because with WordPress and particularly with commerce, small is a huge market because even the tiniest things, there are loads of people searching for. So if I was going to launch an events plugin or a membership plugin, I don't think I would be that successful, to be honest, because it's so competitive. How are you going to rank for WordPress membership plugin? Never going to happen, or you'd have to be very, very good. But to rank for something really specific that doesn't exist in the market is actually quite easy, particularly if you already have, say, an agency website that you can start selling your products on and blogging on about your products, and that you've got some domain authority built up. So my advice, if you've not got a huge budget and massive marketing skills, is to go for the niches and find something specific that you have got a reasonable chance of success.
As you're looking back too, do you think there were, what were the catalyst moments when, you're starting to get a flow in of customers that's kind of growing, and like, oh, this point here, when this happened, things started to take off from marketing or customer, incoming customers or things like that, that you think made the difference that you think about quite a bit today in terms of the marketing and growth of the products that you offer?
It's funny because what we do now is kind of the same things that we always did, which is finding content opportunities that fill a gap that isn't already catered for, and a bit of ads and things like that. So it's just about really getting, there wasn't really a catalyst moment because we did that from day one based on the experience of marketing the agency business. It's more about reducing the randomness, as I talked about earlier, and fine-tuning that process so that you can predict the chance of success more before you start throwing things out there.
Yeah, the first 8 months of iThemes, I tell people a lot is that I was doing support because I was their only person, and
Oh, yeah.
But I cannot take that experience back. I would never want to, because I learned so much about the who. I thought for the 10 years I was part of iThemes, I always thought I'm our base user. I'm not very technical. I'm technical enough. I can take a plugin, I can use it, but I'm not going to get into PHP or anything like that. And that helped us maintain our who we were and what we did. But that first 8 months was so interesting. Just like when I've talked to our agency owners at PostStatus, you said this from the beginning. I just kind of assumed if you, like from the agency mindset, you'd start and then you'd hire a full-time person. That's a wrong assumption I've heard over and over. You started with contractors or freelancers that helped you with your capacity of the work. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that so many times. And that was a nuance because I haven't been an agency owner. That I learned. But those 8 months at iThemes, I realized a couple insights that now in reflection, you know, a long time past, it drove all of our key values, because I was getting to understand the actual customers. They were freelancers, solopreneurs out there just kind of doing freelance WordPress web design on the side. And eventually it would birth into something like you all did too. And just knowing that helped me. And then just seeing in the customer, we had a forum at the time, everybody's asking about CSS customization. We would do a theme with the right sidebar. Now, remember, this is 2008. So like we'd release a theme with the right sidebar and they say they want it on the left. And we'd help them with the CSS. And it was this thing of just noticing and observing what people were actually asking for and putting their headset on and saying, okay, I wanted to be able to have this flexibility that helped us figure out what next products and what next features we would do, because we kept really close to the customer. Yeah. Is there things that in your experience you've seen too, or kind of, it doesn't have to be that, but I was trying to give an example to say, I know some of those things were critical to our success, staying close to the customer. But there are other things that you just go, this happened, we learned from it, and we're going to do that over and over and over again.
Yeah, there's a few things to unpick there. We've definitely listened to the customers, not just our initial clients. So I did the support myself for much longer than I should have done, until it basically just became unmanageable because it was so many tickets. But that gave, as you said, that gave me such a unique insight into our products and how people are using them, so that then I could use that to inform new product decisions, new features, that kind of thing. But even now we have a support team, which I think is 6 people as of a couple of weeks ago. We have a very comprehensive feature request list for each product where they put things on every day. And that we got formula again to say the demand and the difficulty and the impacts and stuff like that, and how many people are waiting, so that I can go in there and see what people are asking for. And we have quite a loose interpretation of what makes a feature request. They may not be explicitly asking for something, but if that would meet their need, then we put it on the list, if that makes sense. So we try to be quite open about that, so we've got more feedback recorded. So that really helps, because you get that insight to, as you say, reduce randomness and know what to build that will work. So for example, tons of our WooCommerce product table customers were asking for quick view buttons in their table, and they were asking for us to add that to their plugin, which makes sense. Can you add quick view? And we thought, hang on, quick view is not just for product table. That is for any store. You don't have to be using the product table layout to want quick view buttons in order to view more information and add to the cart without visiting the separate product pages. So we built a WooCommerce quick view plugin, which again is still available today, and integrated it with product table. So when you buy product table now, you can either buy it on its own, or there's like a bundle with quick view, which quite a lot of customers go for. And you can buy quick view as a standalone. So we kind of look at what the customers are asking for and then make business decisions around that. Other side of what you were saying was about building a team and hiring staff straight away. And because I've always been a bit risk averse, I've waited until we're making money until committing, particularly big commitments like staff. rather than freelancers. But it's interesting seeing more and more at the moment WordPress companies with the more of the startup model where they're seeking funding and so on, because that's something I've got no experience of personally. And we've just bootstrapped it, done the work ourselves until we can afford to hire people. And that's worked for us. So I watch with interest people with a different model, because it's like bringing big business into WordPress, and you see that more and more the last couple of years, don't you?
Oh yeah, and that was one of the primary drivers for us selling and being acquired, is that there is a lot of money, big money continually coming into the space. Okay, so Katie, we've talked about the past. Thank you so much for just sharing that, because I think that's so inspiring and helpful for others trying to do even just the agency part, you know, and then get to what you said, the ceiling, and going, okay, what's next? And what do we do? And oh, there's these things that come out. And then the present where Barn 2 is now. But what is exciting about you and Barn 2 in the future? What's getting you revved up about what you're doing, where you're going, and want to share with others about Barn 2?
I think kind of keeping going, and it's working, doing more. We are getting more ambitious with the sorts of plugins that we will release. Now our SEO is better and we know what works. I still don't think I'd have the confidence to do something really generic like a membership plugin, but we are trying to have a Barn 2 version of all of the major WooCommerce add-ons. So for example, last month we launched a filter plugin. Actually, there isn't a major version of that. That's a bad example, because there wasn't a major competitor, but that was it was our most complex plugin that we'd built, so we were ambitious in that sense. And in the next week or so, we're going to launch a product options plugin, and there is a very strong official version of product add-ons, but we've looked at what the gaps are and in what ways that plugin is not liked, and fixed that in our own. So that's exciting to see how that does, and just keep doing what we're doing.
All right. Well, Katie, can you tell listeners where we can find more about you and also Barn 2 and your work?
Well, the best place is our website, barn2.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at Barn2 Plugins.
Excellent. And also on Post-Edit Slack. I don't want people bombarding you, but I know you're so generous with your expertise and your success story and everything like that. Katie, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. We need more like this, more willing to kind of share the story as inspiration. And you've been so generous and kind to share these parts that others can look at and go, gosh, I need to think about this part that you shared. So thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for your time today. And I'll see you in Post-Edit Slack.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to Post-Edit Draft, podcast from Post-Edit, the community for WordPress professionals.